Blog Talk Radio.
Fantastic sponsor, Roadrunner Law Firm. I, of course, am Seth Bedoff. We're back for another week of We Are Seek and Strike podcast. Sitting to my right tonight, Josh Carrillo. Josh, how you been this week, my man?
It's going good, man. I got thrown out of a football game.
Okay, do I even want to know? Were you coaching? Were you playing?
I was coaching.
How did you get thrown okay, wait a minute. Did you get thrown out of a youth, like, flag football game?
I did.
How?
We got the news.
All right, so here's what happened. We had the same referee twice, okay, two games in a row. It's an older gentleman, probably late 60s or late or early 70s, refereeing, you know, doing stuff out of retirement. And the first game, he missed, like, several calls. And, you know, I understand you're not going to catch everything, but they were pretty obvious calls, offsides, kids lining up 10 yards off the ball kind of thing. Well, this one, game number two, we're tied at 12. It's crucial minutes, under a minute to go. And they call the we're playing the Rams. They hike the ball. They hand it off so our kids can blitz and grab their flags after a handoff. One of our kids grabbed the flag, pulled it. Their kid stopped because he knew his flag got pulled, but the referee did not blow his whistle.
Okay.
So the kid, all the coaches are yelling, run, run, he didn't blow his whistle.
Right, play the whistle.
Play to the whistle. Well, my kid's standing there with a flag in his hand, saying, I got his flag, here it is.
Okay.
The kid runs in, scores the game-winning touchdown.
How in the world did they not?
So, well, I mean, there was still time, and I was yelling. I was like, Mr. Referee, can I talk to you, please?
Yeah.
And he goes, Coach, go to your sideline. And I'm like, I am on my sideline. Can you come talk to me? And I was like, I'll even take a timeout so you can come talk to me.
Yeah.
And he's all, no, Coach, my decision, my call. And I was just like, but my kid is standing here pulling his flag, or he's holding his flag.
Yeah.
It was after the handoff. What? So I got a little livid, okay, and I called him a joke, and he was the worst referee of all time, and he told me to go enjoy the game in the parking lot.
Well,
and I didn't, by the way. There was a little tent, like maybe 20 yards away. I just stayed under there for the rest of the game. But that killed us in our record because, you know, we're fighting for playoff position right now. So that kills you in playoff position. You know. I don't want to talk about it. I'm feeling angry. I don't like that ref.
I feel like I'm going to see you on, like, KOAT news, Josh. Like,
the good news is
parents.
I wasn't the only one to get thrown out. There was a grandfather there as well.
Okay.
Told the referee where to stick it, and he was ejected as well. So that was my win. And I also threw my back this weekend. Yeah. Took a muscle relaxer, and I was done all day yesterday. So.
Hey, by any chance, is your neck also hurt? Because I feel like the joke, my neck, and my back would be coming up any moment.
Are you a comedian? Because if you are, that was horrible. I don't know, Chris. What have you been up to?
It's probably too old for you.
So you guys heard him. That's Chris Walker, of course, sitting across the table from me tonight. Chris,
hey, what's up, guys?
How's your week been?
Hey, man, my week was good. You know, I have to say that I spent some time just experimenting with different flavors of White Claw.
Okay.
Yeah, and what I have discovered is that I like White Claw and coconut berry Red Bull together as a combination.
Coconut berry Red Bull. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, it's really good too. But it comes out blue, so that's kind of a very interesting.
We need to get you a real drink.
Nah, man. I'm set. You know, I went running around like all weekend looking for the multi-pack and I found it.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm way set right now.
We, of course, are not sponsored by White Claw as much as Chris likes to throw them out there. But for those of you that are interested in whatever beverage this is that Chris is drinking, where can they find this?
You know, they could actually find it at Blaze Pizza.
Blaze Pizza.
They could find it at Blaze Pizza.
Can you buy a four-pack or six-pack?
Oh, you can go to Smith's.
Okay.
It's practically free. They're like, the rebate is almost the same price as it. I figured they're probably giving you your money back because you're drinking water.
Wait a minute. So you're buying alcohol where you can send in a mail-in rebate?
No. It's automatically priced out. Like right there, I bought a 12-pack for $13.99, and it came out to just being like $6. I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. So
all right, that's not too bad.
You know.
Yeah, you drink what you can. You know, when I was in college, I drank a lot of PBR, you know, so.
Hey, I like that.
Hey, when you're poor and you got a job, PBR is about the only way that you can go with that.
Hey, when you're from the South, PBR is like the Stella Artois.
PBR is kind of like the Coors Light of Albuquerque, like.
Yeah, you could probably say that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Chris put it out on the Twitter or not, but we have a special guest with us tonight. We have Casey, and please help make sure I get your last name right. That's Gasson. Okay. Casey Gasson from the Albuquerque Soul. So glad to have you here tonight. I mean, this is exciting for us. I mean, season's over for you guys. You guys played your hearts out this year. What are your thoughts on the season and how it went for you guys? And, you know, what are you looking forward to now in the off season?
So I think we had a pretty good season for the circumstances we were in. Like, we're not going to have a team, and then we did have a team, so we couldn't bring players that we actually wanted to have. So we had to kind of deal with what we had. And I felt like the coaching staff, Larry or Lencho, as everybody knows him, did a very good job this year for what he got thrown into. And Steve Kramer as well, the coach, and Justin Sells. Good job handling the players, the egos, playing everybody, giving everybody chances. I mean, we didn't get a very good winning season, but we did learn a lot. We grew as a team.
Yeah.
Made some good friends. I mean,
you can't ask for a whole lot more than that. I mean, especially given the circumstances coming into the season, not even knowing if there was going to be a club or not. I mean, being out there, you know, you guys play right down the road here over at St. Pius. What's the fan turnout been like? How's that support been this year?
It was okay. I felt like last year was a little bit better, but I feel like last year we were having a better season. We won the Rattler. We were winning games. We were performing. You got to perform to get fans to your games, kind of what my mentality is. If we're not winning, we're not going to get people into the seats.
Yeah.
But, like I said, it was a learning experience for me. I enjoyed it. I probably will never play outdoor competitively ever again. Sunday was my last game.
What?
Oh, man.
So I retired from outdoor, yeah.
I feel like you got to retire your jersey, Casey.
For outdoor. Indoor, I'm still going at it for a couple more years. But outdoor, I'm done trying to like pursue it outdoor and just continue with indoor. So my off season, that's what I'm going to focus on. Got like 3 or 4 months to go to indoor.
Okay.
And I'll be playing with New Mexico Runners, hopefully. I got a couple of tryouts here and there that I've got asked to go to, so might go do that as well. So just kind of open doors and see what happens. But for now, I'm with the New Mexico Runners with Andres Trujillo, which he's done a good job last season. Yeah. He'll probably do a better job this season as well, kind of knowing what's going on with the league.
Yeah.
It all works out, so I'm excited.
And so for anyone who's interested in going out watching the Runners, where they play up at Santa Ana?
Yeah, Santa Star Center, okay. Jaramillo Rancho. We usually play Saturday nights. Not too late, like 5 o'clock, so you can take the family out. And
that's not bad at all.
Yeah, so you get out of there by 7, still get the kids home by 8. I mean, it's fun. It's not just soccer, it's entertainment. You got shows, you got lasers,
Lasers? Yeah, what?
Like laser shows and all that good stuff. And then you got, of course, Rio, the mascot. I think the kids love Rio, so. I think they love him more than they love the team.
Kids love mascots. Yeah. Speaking from experience, my kids, kind of love them. So it's definitely, I've heard a lot of great things about the operation up there with the Runners, and the Soul. Definitely having them back this year has been big for the local soccer community. And I know that you guys have done a lot of work and brought out the fans, and we're excited to have you here tonight. Be a part of the show, and you're gonna stick around. We're gonna do a whole lot. We got so much to cover tonight. Alicia's not with us tonight, but those of us who are here, we are, of course, Seek and Strike. Like I said, so many things to get to tonight. We've got the Minnesota United match to talk about. We've got Fresno. We've got Cardiff City coming up this week. Just so many things to get to. But before we do that, first and foremost, I want to thank our sponsors. We've got Doral Motors on board with us. Big thank you to them. And, of course, shout out to our sponsor. Again, I mentioned it already, we're in their offices tonight. The law offices of Roadrunner Law Firm. Eva, thank you guys for allowing us to be here tonight. We certainly appreciate it. The music you guys heard at the top of the show, of course, as always, California Redemption with the band Humor Me. If you guys are interested in checking them out, you can find them on Bandcamp. That is California Redemption. It's California with a K. And of course, as always, you guys know you can be a part of the show each and every Monday. You can text us at 505-431-8860. Get your questions in. Josh is man on the board, of course. I know Josh was telling us we already heard from Scooter from last week.
A novel, dude. A novel. He's already...
I don't even know
the name. I was getting texted during the game. You know how bad that was?
Like, yeah, you were telling us about that. Like, I just, you know. And I don't know if you guys want to try these. I brought these with me tonight. They're, you guys tried the cotton candy grapes? Have you, had, you guys had these before?
I thought those were moonshine grapes.
No, the only good moonshine is out in Georgia. So, you know. If you guys want to, I don't know if you guys have tried these or not.
If I can get my finger in there.
Let's get... There you go. So,
these are cotton candy grapes?
Yeah, they're cotton candy flavored grapes.
That you keep in a jar that makes me think that it's moonshine.
My wife sent these. So, yeah, if you guys want to
try them. What it really was is Aaron's like, I like these grapes, and I'm only going to send you a 25 grapes because I'm keeping the stash at home. Thank you, Aaron. We really appreciate that.
Yeah, no, Aaron and the kids love these.
And where'd she get these from?
I think she got them over at Sprouts. Trader Joe's.
Of course it's Sprouts. Sprouts has... Everything
they've got pretty good produce, so we do a lot of shopping there. But I mean, we're not here to talk shopping. We're here to talk soccer. We're here to talk sports.
Hey, but before we jump into that, Seth, I gotta ask you. Okay, on your last match preview, you had some '90s music on there.
Yes,
you had Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba, and you had Foo Fighters. And you know what I realized today when I looked up the year that Tub Thumping came out? You know it came out in 97, right?
97, yeah.
Do you realize that Alicia was not even born yet? She's 19, dude.
She was having to translate those, right? Oh, no, she didn't translate. She translated the post-match, but...
Yeah, but she was not even born at the time that song came out. Josh, how old were you?
In 97?
In 97.
I was 9.
Oh, see.
That's right, you're young.
You are young.
Yeah, I was 13 when that...
31, but I feel 90.
Man.
See, I remember, I was in middle school when that came out.
I was 17, and I actually bought that CD with my own money.
I had it. I had that CD. I had the Foo Fighters one, too.
Yeah, so I just was curious, man. Like, what made you throw music in the beginning? Like, were you kind of just... Did the oldies come on? Like, what exactly happened there?
No, oldies weren't on. I was actually sitting at my mom's house out in Georgia. Aaron and I were... lucky enough to, you know, a family member get us some buddy passes. You know, on my Twitter, I've talked about my grandmother and her health, and we were able to fly out for the weekend, go visit her and see how she was doing. And, you know, we had come back, I think it was Friday night when I sent that. We had gone out to eat with one set of my grandparents, and you know, just sitting there, like I said, actually in my old bedroom, like the bedroom I grew up in. But yeah, I don't know, it felt right listening or, you know, getting those lyrics out there, because it really described how United's season has gone. You know, we talked a lot earlier on about how every time United lost, they would come back with a win or a draw. And this was, like, you know, they get knocked down, they get right back up again.
You know, and I was actually looking at the song lyrics.
Yeah.
And I really thought to myself, like, what was their part? It goes, he takes a whiskey drink, he takes a lager drink, a vodka drink, he takes a lager drink, and he takes a cider drink. Yeah. And I was like, okay, that's a good thing that chorus is only in there twice, because if it's in there more than that dude is definitely pissing the night away, right? Because that's that part of that lyric that's in there.
Definitely is. And yeah, like I said, just being home, it just kind of made me think about that and think about the season that United's had so far. And just looking at everything as a whole, I mean, we've got a chance now. I saw it mentioned elsewhere the other day that after the Cardiff match this week, it's a chance for United to wipe the slate clean. Well, I kind of felt like they had that after the week break, you know, the 2 week break there. But you know, every week they go in and they have a chance to turn their season around. And so, like I said, that's what the Foo Fighters, you know, the Foo Fighters lyrics got in there, and they have that chance to start over. You know,
how do those lyrics go for the people that maybe didn't get a chance to read that preview? I specifically want the Foo Fighter lyrics from you.
The Foo Fighter lyrics for me, I cannot sing at all. So no, we're going to pass on that.
Oh, man. If you want to hear Seth sing those lyrics by the end of the show, please send us like
10 texts. 10 texts get you to sing.
Yeah,
there we go. 10 texts, okay.
Of course, you could just go on our Twitter on Seek and Strike NM and just tweet us and say, we want to hear Seth sing the lyrics to that Foo Fighters.
Because Seth, I bet you have the combination of Fergie and Jesus.
No, I definitely don't have a singing voice at all. I mean, but my kids sometimes catch me singing in the car, but that's about it. So
we're going to catch you singing in the hair.
I do want to say that, you know, while we were out in Georgia, we actually got to go see the Woodbury set from Walking Dead. Hmm. We went down to Sonoya, Georgia, and that's where they film Woodbury. And now they generally do tours throughout the different points, but they were closed for the season. So as you're walking down through Sonoya, you can actually see down into the Woodbury set.
Ooh.
Yeah, they've got the big metal wall, you know, the metal wall they've got to keep the walkers out. They've got that up around the Woodbury village set up, and there's a shop there in Sonoya called the Walking Dead shop. So it was definitely a cool thing to see. Like we tried driving up as close as we could. Like we got right up by the wall to Woodbury. You could see in and see the set and everything.
Did you go to the shop?
Yeah, went in the shop.
Where's our stuff?
Yeah, you didn't bring back any souvenirs?
No souvenirs. Like I said, we were, you know, my priority was getting out there seeing my grandmother.
That is the priority, yes.
Yeah.
But you didn't even bring back any pretzels. Oh, that's right. You didn't take Southwest.
No, Delta did not offer pretzels.
They offer the blue chips, and you didn't bring back any of those?
No, they don't. They don't even offer those. They offer Bisco Cheetos, whatever, you know, their form of Bisco Cheetos, you know, the Biscoff cookies or whatever.
Oh, okay.
They offered Cheez-Its and then almonds.
Okay.
It's like, okay, nothing worth bringing back, you know, so.
True.
One thing I will say, though, every single seat on that plane had a TV in the back. And TV in the back of the headrest of it. So I was sitting on the flight, you know, watching like True Grit, you know, nice. Yeah, stuff like that. And okay. They actually had live TV on it. So if I had realized that the Atlanta United match was on ESPN at the time, I could have been watching ESPN United or Atlanta United on ESPN the whole flight back.
Atlanta United,
yeah.
That's the wrong United.
Well, New Mexico United wasn't playing, so you know, got to watch something.
So speaking of United, so you want to talk about Minnesota United?
Minnesota United, man, that was a tough match. It really was. You know, looking at it, you know, we expected a better result.
We didn't
necessarily play well in the first half. We had a lot of bad luck though.
A lot of bad bounces.
Yes, Cody had two deflections. Sam had a block that got deflected. All three of those got put back in for goals. We had just a lot of just bad bounces, you know. I mean, without those three and without there was one other instance, it would have been a 2-1 match. And it could have completely changed the outcome, you know. And I was glad to see Josh get back in there. And Suggs got some time in, you know. And we looked so much better in the second half. You know, I don't know how much of that was Minnesota United, you know, taking their foot off the gas or not. I mean, being up, you know, 5-1 already at that point. But, you know, we got out to a quick start, you know, and I think I mentioned it, you know, during the live tweets that I felt like that early goal by us really woke up Minnesota.
They even said it. It woke up the sleeping giant.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, I was watching it in the Civic Plaza, and big shout out to Jennifer Esquivel for putting that together. Mm. She did an amazing job of getting 2,000 fans out there to see that game. It was incredible to watch it. And, you know, she works with the city of Albuquerque, and she wants to do it more for away games. When the United are out, they want to do more Civic Plaza things. So, yeah. But like I said, big shout-out to Jennifer Esquivel for putting that together. But the fans, what I was happy about, usually when you get an NFL game, an NBA game, something like that, fans leave after it's a blowout.
Yeah.
Nobody left. Everybody was still in their seats, waving their flags, still proud to be United. And right there, that made me feel a lot comfortable because you know New Mexico sports, when teams lose, fans leave, especially in like a local football games, local basketball games. So it made me feel good that there's still confidence in this team that everybody still stuck around. And it was 6-1. You know, they were still cheering as loud as they could. We still heard Salmos Unidos chants. So it made me feel good that there's still love for this team after...
Yeah, I was wondering how the turnout was and how the fan base reacted to us dropping down, you know, by multiple goals. I know that we were over the Salt Yard And I didn't really see anybody leave from there. You know, we were in the side yard room, and you know, the crowd was pretty much, I mean, the excitement kind of died down.
Right.
But like I said, everyone was still there. Everyone was still watching, you know, reacting to what was going on.
And so, the one thing me and Chris were kind of talking before the show too, the one thing that I saw that hurt us was our back line. Minnesota just abused that pretty intensely there towards the beginning. Their speed was just incredible. They were getting to that. They were getting to Cody before we could even get there. And that was expected, because there was I forgot who it was on Minnesota, but he used to be a Seattle Sounder, won a couple MLS Cups with them. Mm-hmm. He's fast,
yeah.
And he got down there pretty quick. And I think that's what hurt us the most was speed.
Yeah, Minnesota had a lot of speed, and they've been one of the hottest teams in MLS over the past, you know, month and a half. They came in on 3 straight wins, and they really just took care of business. And honestly, I was impressed. And Casey, I don't know if you got a chance to watch the match at all, but I mean, for the first time in the U.S. Open Cup, at least this year, there was a club that took it somewhat seriously. Watching how we played against FC Dallas and Colorado Rapids, they put out, you know, half clubs. I mean, Minnesota United, they came out and they said, we're gonna take this seriously. And for me, that was an impressive thing to see.
I think they did that because they did really well against the other 2B teams. It was like, maybe this team is good enough to play against an MLS team. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I think they started off well, and then, like I said, defense broke down. Forward was really fast, and you had to get through the channels. Some unlucky goals. I mean, but they also been playing a long season. They've been playing 2 leagues, not just USL. They've been playing the Open Cup, and it's tiring for these guys. I know they're pro athletes, and they rest and they recover or whatever. But they're also human beings, and they gotta have time to recover and enjoy themselves as well, because if not, it's just gonna be tiring. I don't think they're gonna keep losing. I think they're gonna win their next game, and I think they're gonna continue winning. I think they're just tired right now. It's a lot of soccer, and it's a lot of running for them, a lot of traveling. Traveling does a lot to your body. From experience, I know how that works. So I think they'll bounce back. I think they'll keep winning. I don't think we'll lose the fans either, because the fans out here, I've noticed, are really, really dedicated. They do love the teams that they do support, which is awesome. And I encourage everybody to keep going out. I mean, I go to every single home game. I didn't buy season tickets, which I should have. But I buy tickets every game. But I love going. I enjoy myself. It's fun. It's a good atmosphere.
Yeah, no, you touched on a couple things there. I mean, you mentioned the fact that they've been both in league play and in cup play. And we've talked about it on the podcast before. I mean, that amount of running is just brutal on the body. I mean, by the time before they even played Minnesota, they had already played 5 full matches worth of game time. And you know, I've seen comments all across social media, you know, well, maybe the club's not deep enough, maybe we don't have enough talent, but and, you know, people are concerned about the form. I said, well, look at how much we've played before Minnesota United. We have already played, I think it was 22 or 23 matches on the season, and the other clubs that we've been playing have only played 18 or 19 because they went out so early in Open Cup, or because they just weren't part of it. And so I think it's been a huge learning experience for the club. I also think it's been great exposure for them as well, and for soccer here in the state of New Mexico.
I think you're right. I mean, it was a good learning experience for them. Like, I didn't think they were going to get this far, and I'm very proud of how far they got. I'm proud to be a United fan. That was incredible what they did. I mean, it's hard to get through that far in the U.S. Open Cup. It's really hard. You're playing some tough teams, good opponents, teams that already been established. This is their first year.
Yeah.
And I think they did very well. And I think they have a good team. I think they do have depth. And people that say they don't have depth, because they don't really know the game. Coach plays different players, different games.
Yeah.
And it's because of different situations. He reads the game. I feel like he reads the game to a point or to an opponent. He doesn't just stick to one system. It's like, all right, we're going to play these guys. They play like this, like this, like this. I'm going to put you here, 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 because you do this and this and this.
Yeah.
And then we'll sub you out once you get tired. So what I've noticed, he has a chess match is what he feel like he uses as a chess match.
Yeah, that's a great analogy, and we've talked about it before. You know, who's coach going to sub in, and you know, looking at the run of matches. I mean, this match against the match coming up against Josh, you just distracted me with your bag of chips over here. I mean,
Josh is over here trying to pull Like, he's, you know how you're in the class and you're like trying to open that bag of chips and it's like,
you don't want the teacher to find out.
It's like, it's like little, like the tiniest sound in the world, but it's like the biggest sound. Seth just got distracted.
Especially in here because it echoes. So if I barely do,
like, yeah, Josh has completely threw me off what I was going to say. But looking at the stretch, and I saw a tweet earlier saying that United is finishing up their 5-match road trip next week on the 24th. I'm going, no, it's not a 5-match road trip. You know, Chris, we've talked about it. And with the success in the Open Cup, we've already had two long trips on the season. This was the third. And it went from what we initially thought was going to be a 5-match road trip to 8 matches. And after the Minnesota United match, the club didn't even come back home. They stayed in Minnesota and trained there on the Minnesota United training facilities.
Which is cool. That's got to be like a huge compliment from the club to go, hey, you guys can train here.
Huge shout out to Minnesota United. I've heard great things about the way their fans handled it. The fan turnout was unbelievable for that match. I think that's the largest crowd we've seen so far.
Oh, yeah.
And when it comes to a USL versus MLS match so far this year in the Open Cup. But the club, you know, New Mexico has got to feel tired after all this. And then, you know, they spent an extra day or two in Minnesota training before flying out to Fresno. I mean,
have you ever been to Fresno?
I have not.
So I lived in Modesto, California. So Fresno is about an hour and a half south of that. So not much going on. I mean, obviously, like if you like fruit, like, you know, the Central Valley has got like all kinds of fruit, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, nothing much going on in Fresno.
Fresno is Lubbock, Texas of California.
Yeah.
There is nothing going on. That is a dead town. It took me like an hour to find a good restaurant in Fresno. It's a university town.
Well, yeah, it's Fresno Bulldogs.
Yeah, it's Fresno State. It's a university town.
That's where Dillonino's from the soul.
Okay. Oh, cool. Well, hey, so there's something good from Fresno. It's Dillonino.
There you go.
That's about it.
But so, I mean, looking at that, Chris, what's your takeaway from going from the Minnesota United match? I mean, like I said, we had Suggs back. I thought Suggs played very well. And then he played again in Fresno. Again, he got a longer shift at Fresno. Fresno actually played the full match. So, yeah, Suggs played the full match at Fresno because it was Bruce Akamatsu and who was the other one that came on? I can't remember off the top of my head. But Suggs played the full 90 after, you know, Coach eased him back in. It looks to me like Josh's match fitness is back. And the effort that he put in against Fresno, and even against Minnesota, was just undeniable.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was definitely good to see Suggs back in. We've definitely missed him. I mean, you could tell the difference in his presence. I mean, because when he's not playing back there, what you miss out on is you miss out on a left back that can take the ball all the way up the side. And he obviously, not only can he take it himself, but he can obviously set up Santi Moore as well, so he can serve the ball in. So I think you really miss that. Austin Yearwood did a good job back there, but I mean, there is some difference in the physicality between the two players and also in the handling of the ball as well. So, and that's the one thing that I would also add to that is that when you have Suggs in there, and I think when you have him in there and when you have Hamilton, you really do get a lot of tight passes, you know, along the back third. But what I noticed with different guys in there is that sometimes the balls were loose. So some of the passes that were made were not very, like, crisp or tight. A lot of things, the ball was just kind of out there. And it was in places where other teams were just intercepting the ball. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, we've seen that. It can get kind of sloppy. And it's like, okay, come on, guys. We got to make sure that these are, like, solid passes. So I do like Suggs back in the lineup. And I did like seeing Manny Padilla, or, you know, back there as well. So
yeah, it was definitely a little bit of a different look. Even though Troy puts out a lineup that looks very, very similar from week to week, there are variations. So United typically lines up in like almost like a 4-4-2. But the way they play is more of a 4-4-1-1, and you typically see Devin dropping deeper to help set up, you know, the up man. You know, in most cases, it's Kevon. Of course, we didn't have Kevon or Guzman this past weekend But so yet you saw Chris Weehan start. You know, he, and honestly, like, I felt he played himself into the match. You know, first half he didn't do so well against Fresno, but in the second half his movement was so much better. And looking at the way we moved in the second half, I really thought we had a shot, because going into that, you know, we had, and I don't know what, and I want to get both yours and Casey's take on this, that penalty that was given up. I mean, I watched the replay probably 30 times, and I didn't see Sam make contact at all. That, just from what I saw. And we've seen this year multiple times penalties called against United that we felt shouldn't have been that. You know, being in that position, I mean, what do you guys think? Should that have been a penalty? Did we, you know?
I don't think it should have been a penalty. It kind of flopped, but it was a hard tackle. But I don't think it was a PK either. I mean, it was clearly ball hitting.
Yeah.
He just fell, so.
Yeah, that was kind of my take on it. And Chris, what did you?
I mean, he was kind of waiting for the PK. Yeah. It's like what I was feeling like. He was like waiting for him to take the contact, and then he flopped is kind of what I felt like he was doing.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like it was a soft call by the ref, too.
Yeah, same here. I mean, you know, definitely I would think that it was a soft call as well. And, you know, and these guys are obviously trained. You know, they know, like, when to just to take that fall. The thing I will say about the PK, since you're on it, is that if you think about the last two league matches, you look at Fresno and then also look at Salt Lake,
mm-hmm.
both of those games were decided by a PK contributing to the factor. I mean, if you take away that PK, essentially the scoreline is even, you know, when you look at it all. And so to me, that makes me think, is the team in line with what Troy is trying to do as far as making defensive stops and then from there creating chances? Because when you look at the match with Fresno, if you take away that PK, it's essentially 0-0, and then United gets that point, right? So at that point, it's 0-1, it's us, we're up. You know, then at that point, I think that they're along the lines of that form. Now, of course, giving up the goal after that then kind of puts it back to a situation that we've seen with Fresno the first time around, getting out in front and then just not being able to kind of hold that lead. So now you go from winning to essentially having a draw. But to bring it back, I just think that these PKs have been factors. And so once we can get past getting caught up in this contact where people just flop, then I think we might be kind of close to form. It doesn't look like it, but I think that there could be that. We just don't have as many chances happening on the other side.
You know, I kind of talked about it in my recap the other day. And outside of I put it in my Open Cup postmortem, so to speak. Outside of, I mean, take out the Minnesota United match, take out, and I know it's kind of being, you know, cherry picking here. Take out, you know, take out the Las Vegas match, take out, like I said, take out Minnesota, take out Sacramento. Look at what we've done defensively over the past month and a half. We've played a lot better. We gave up 3 goals in 2 matches to 2 MLS clubs. In league play, we gave up 1, 2, 3 goals prior to the Fresno match. Defensively, we've played a lot better. And that was without Josh Suggs. You know, him coming back in, I think that's going to provide even more stability in the back. And like you said, he's got that. He's more than physically capable of taking on any forward in the league. We've got a center back like that in front of you. How does that make you feel? Like, does that give you some sense of, like, I have faith in my guys?
Yeah, I mean, when you have your center backs, your left backs all in sync, then it just makes it better. And Suggs just gives a presence. I feel like he's like a bulldog. You just know he's there, and he's always going to have your back. So you know you can go into that tackle. If you go in, you know Suggs will be there. And I feel like they've been hesitating a little bit with that, going out a little bit more in the center, because they know that Suggs won't go in. Suggs runs all over the place. He doesn't stop running. He's a machine. So, yeah, they're definitely missing Suggs.
Yeah, and that's, you know, we've talked about it, you know, over the past month, you know, a month and a half, however long he's been out. You know, getting him back is definitely going to give us a better feel in the back, and I think it's going to help stabilize, you know, the way the club as a whole plays. And then looking at going, you know, what's going forward, we're going to have Kevon back next match. We're going to have Guzman back. I think, you know, I don't know if something needs to be done about Kevon to kind of rein him in a little bit. Like, I don't want to pull back on his intensity, because I think his intensity, the level which he plays, is fantastic. But he's got to go a little bit easier on these yellow cards. Like, we can't keep losing Kevon for a match here and there, especially coming down the stretch when we've got playoff hopes alive, very much alive.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I do agree with you on that, but I do think about before he initially got five cards, he was holding on to four through three matches, you know, and so, but again, you know, along with the fact that he is taking so many shots up front, he is a big frame and he is physical, is, yeah, you know, he does get these cards, you know, and so that is kind of the exchange that we're seeing. I'd like to think that we could really implore that next man up situation. We just really haven't seen it, you know what I mean? I think that if you look at the way the lineup was in Fresno, so with Frater out, you had Weehan up top, right?
Yeah.
So that was the situation. But again, I mean, it still is a lot of us stacking the left side and the top, you know? I mean, we still need the right. I mean, we still need to be able to stretch other teams defensively, or, you know, stretch their defense rather, you know? And, you know, I just don't know where else it's coming from, as far as, like, when he's out of a match. I mean, because this one, we were kind of limited. We don't have depth because we don't have a huge roster. Like, our roster is definitely smaller than other USL rosters. Mm-hmm. A side tangent on that thought is that I wonder, with the USL 2 season being over for some teams, how likely it is that we could see loners come into the situation to give us depth in midfield as well as maybe some speed in backfield. And I wanted to get your take on that question.
So there was actually a discussion going on the New Mexico United subreddit over the past day or two about this. And you and I have heard rumors that there have been a couple guys on trial. No signings, that's been put out there. And so there's been a lot of confusion about what actually the signing season or the transfer window is for USL. So I answered in a couple different posts. So according to the USL media guide, clubs have until September 20th to sign players before the end of the year. Mm. Any player signed before that point can be part of any postseason roster. It's 5 p.m. Eastern on September 20th that the rosters freeze. No one else can be signed after that. Now, whether or not we see USL League 2s or even League 1s coming up, I don't know. You know, Troy has been adamant throughout the season that this is his group. You know, and that's not to say that it couldn't change, but, and that's not to say that Troy isn't still looking. Because you're always looking to evaluate talent. Who can you bring in to make your club better? Now, at this point, is it too late to bring someone in and have and it make an impact on the remainder of the season? That I don't know. Ideally, you want to see someone brought in sooner rather than later to give them that chance to make an impact, you know.
And I don't want to speculate any further because, you know, we, you know, having source information, we definitely don't want to put that out there. But I will say this, though. Have you noticed the amount of other USL clubs that have been signing players lately? I mean, Locomotive signed Sebastian Velasquez, mm-hmm. right, who is out of the MLS.
A guy who's had a lot of trouble off the field.
Hey, give the guy a second chance, maybe.
He's right? Had second and third and fourth chances.
Oh, man. And then
I don't play chess, but I think it's your move, Chris.
Ooh, mate. And then check this out, though.
But does he play well on the field, though, sometimes? Does he score goals? Does he do what they ask him to do?
No.
He does come to trouble. You know that.
Right.
So you know what you're getting yourself into. So if he's scoring goals, you get in trouble. That's on him. But if he's doing his job when they ask him to, I think that's the way I see it.
Yeah.
There it is.
I mean, that's the way I would see it. I mean, if he's doing his job on the field, or his personal time is his own personal time, but he's making us look bad, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's good input right there.
Did you see what Alicia posted today?
No.
That's what I was going to get into next.
Yes.
Phoenix Rising.
Signed a Liverpool.
They signed a defender from Liverpool off of the U23, who also was on Ireland's U21.
Liverpool? Who's that? I don't know who Liverpool is.
Some
never heard of him.
Who are you like again?
Everton.
Oh,
he wasn't a Chelsea guy, so I don't care who he is. So.
No, I hadn't seen that today.
Posted it like an hour and a half ago, 2 hours ago.
Okay. Yeah, they made a huge signing, and you know, I mean, obviously winning 9 in a row, you know, they can certainly kind of put their club out there. So that's going to be something interesting to kind of look at. Even San Antonio made a signing too. They signed someone from LA Galaxy too. So I mean, I know that.
Well, Los Dos has no playoff hopes right now, so that's not surprising. Corey Whelan. Okay, I did see this. I didn't see it from Alicia, but yeah, I mean, it's. I'm reading this article here. I don't know if it's a loan or doesn't look like it. Looks like it's actual like transfer.
That's a sign.
So I mean, that's good for them. I mean, he was on loan last season with Crewe Alexandra in England's Sky Bet League 2. 16 games, 1 goal, 2 assists. So that's not a bad line for a defender. You know, logged a bunch of minutes and was the captain of the U23s. I mean, it's a good signing for them. He's a young guy. He's got experience in the English football system,
which is higher up.
Well, the Sky Bet League 2,
that's Cardiff City.
No, it's not.
They're Sky Bet.
So no, they're not. Cardiff is part of the EFL Championship. Okay. That's not Sky Bet League 2. Sky Bet League 2 is like 2 more rungs down than the EFL Championship. So I mean, but again, he has experience in the English football system, which is going to benefit Phoenix. I mean, they've been on an absolute tear, 27 points from 9 matches. You really can't ask for much more than that. But I mean, you bring up a good point, you know, talking about Cardiff being over there. They're now here in the States. They just took on San Antonio.
In the sandbox.
Yeah, oh my word.
Harry, if you're listening, they got to do something about that, my friend.
Right. Yeah, I put out. I saw Harry's photos, or maybe someone else's photos. But Harry tweeted it out. And I said, "Boy, Harry, my kids got some Tonka trucks you can use over there." But
I think they dumped the sand on the field on purpose.
Who knows? I mean, between the way that pitch looked and the way the pitch out in Charleston looked a few weeks ago, it really is a shame. You know how some of these pitches look. You know, you would think that the clubs would make more of an effort to get them in playing shape. Let me ask you, Casey, what's the worst pitch you've ever played on?
Worst pitch I've ever played on? I played on a couple of pretty bad ones. They have holes, bumps everywhere, sand. Oh. Yeah, it's pretty awful. And indoor, too, there's some spots we've gone to where the turf is, like, missing spots or the boards are not even real boards.
Yeah.
So it makes a difference when you don't have the right facility you're supposed to be playing in. And I know the USL has, like, standards what you need to have to like play, you know what I mean? You have to have at least a good playing field. If it's all bumpy and there's sand, we're like, how's that? That doesn't make sense at all. Why?
Yeah.
I've never understood why they put sand on the grass. Like, it's still to this day, I don't understand that.
Yeah, I would think too. With that much sand on the pitch, it's got to be dangerous to an extent for players not having, you know, the right footing.
Exactly. You can slip, bust your ankle, tear ACL. You never know. Just one little easy move because you're going so fast and that momentum, you can just snap something. So I just never understood it.
Yeah.
It's like going from St. Pius High School to Balloon Fiesta Park. St. Pius, beautiful grass. Like, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I was loving the kids playing flag football because no one's going to get an injury on that grass. Balloon Fiesta, there's bumps.
Yeah.
Grass missing, dirt everywhere. You're like, this is supposed to be one of Albuquerque's finest parks, and it looks like trash. So I can only imagine when players go out there, or soccer players go out there. Oh, yeah, rolled ankles for sure, busted knees. Like, I would be very cautious on pitches.
You got to think about how much foot traffic Balloon Fiesta Park gets, though. I mean, it's right. Be hard to maintain that.
But still, how much money you put into that.
Right.
But even like for pitches, too, you want to present yourself to be the best. And I'm happy Albuquerque Isotopes have provided in United with the stuff that they have.
Yeah.
And it looks nice. You know, it's not the greatest in the world, but, you know, I got to touch it.
Yeah.
And it's nice, you know, so.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, the sod that we put out there, it's good. It's high-quality stuff. Mm-hmm. Because it just doesn't take to the soil that's there.
No.
And that's the problem. That's why it looks like dirt, but it's grass. It's there. It just doesn't look good.
And it's New Mexico. We don't have anything green.
Right. I mean, I just came back from Georgia. Everything's green. And, man, it was wonderful, let me tell you. But, you know, speaking of pitches that hope should be in good shape, University of New Mexico soccer complex hasn't really been used a whole lot lately. They did have the senior games over there. But I'm expecting that pitch to be in really good shape this week when we take on Cardiff.
Careful, there might be some loose teeth out there. If the senior games were there, there's got to be something out there.
This guy, man. Get your boy.
But, I mean, I'm excited for this. This is the first time I can think of a club ever being able to host a club of the magnitude of the Welsh side, Cardiff City FC, in their first year. I mean, this is an incredible opportunity for New Mexico United and, you know, USL. I mean, this is the second club that Cardiff will have faced. And looking at it, what the club that's coming in, I mean, Cardiff City, they've got a wide range, even just on their first team roster. They've got guys with over 300 matches under their belts. They've got guys with 8 matches under their belts. You know, so the club that they've got coming in, and guess it's their preseason, it's them getting ready. Honestly, I don't know what to expect. We're probably not going to see their, you know, their full, like, starting 11 playing together.
Well, they have a touring team.
Yeah, they've got, I think it's 23 players on their touring roster. Coming in, getting prepared. It's probably going to be, I think it's some academy guys. I was trying to find a full roster.
Yeah, I know they just made some signings.
Yeah, they've got.
From their U23, right?
Yeah, they've got some guys coming in from their academies, from their U23s. You know, so I don't expect, like, their full, like I said, the full 11-man first team club to be a part of it. There might be a few guys from there.
I was watching the highlights earlier just from the San Antonio match, and
yeah.
play style looks pretty good. I mean, mm-hmm. obviously, like, you know, we know that they got talent. I mean, there's a lot of creativity as far as in their gameplay, as far as knowing where the next man's going to be. And I mean, San Antonio did well against them. I mean, ultimately, like, their 1-0 victory over San Antonio was the PK. So
yeah.
That's, you know, it makes me interested about how we're going to do in that match. You know, I wonder what the starting 11 will be. I wonder if Troy will kind of use more of the guys that aren't getting the minutes in the beginning just because, like, you know, why not? Or if it will be more of an aggressive showing and he'll use, like, our primary guys and then kind of bring in everyone else. But
typically with the friendlies, you get unlimited subs.
Yeah, it's unlimited,
you know,
subs.
Yeah. You'll see guys, Everton's been playing theirs as well, and they're basically subbing out half, if not the entire squad at halftime to try to get everyone some minutes. I mean, I bet we'll see something like Ryan and Ryan Williams up top, and maybe Bees or Kevon up there as well. And then we'll probably see Josh Goss.
Hey, Josh Goss in the house. Like, I'd like to see Josh Goss. And
we'll see Ben. I bet we'll see Ben out there at some point.
Bo Ree.
So, I mean, honestly, I know we still have a week after until the Sacramento match, but I don't expect Troy to run the guys out there for 90 minutes at all. I mean, there may be one or two that do, but my best guess is they'll do like 45 minutes each. That way, everyone in the club gets some time. You know, we'll see Tony Soler back in there. We'll see everyone get some minutes, especially Ben. I want to see Ben play. Like,
he's got some accolades. I mean, if you look him up, he actually is a legitimate goalkeeper.
Yeah.
He's got some accolades to him. So when I was reading up on him, I was like, okay. You know,
You know, I kind of wonder if we're going to see the new kid we just signed to the high-performance program.
I don't know if he's eligible yet.
I
will tell you that I did send that question to Troy's email today. Mm-hmm. I don't expect to get an answer from him. But in good spirits, I did ask, how soon could someone in the high performance program be eligible for USL Championship? And I did also preface the question.
Well, if they sign him to a contract, he's eligible.
Right, but I don't know what their plan is. I just threw it out there. But, hey, I do want to take this moment to give a special shout-out to superfan Tyler Ortega for his class move in the New Mexico United Nation when someone asked, hey, we should learn some chants to really rile up Cardiff City. And Tyler goes, no, I think we should learn the Sala chant for them. That would be class. It's very simple, too. Yeah. And here are the lyrics. Sing a song for Sala will never let you go. You'll always be at the city with me. And, of course, you know, Tyler went to say, if you're unaware of the Emiliano Sala story, look it up. But I just
I was going to talk about that. Yeah,
that was cool. And I think Somos Unidos News is going to end up printing up a ton of pamphlets so we can all sing that song. So, but I will say that we got it on the podcast first, so we should have just sung it.
Yeah, no, that'd be very cool. Thank you.
Better than Wonderwall.
So we definitely get Twitter requests for you to sing.
Yeah, Tyler, thank you for that. For those of you that aren't familiar, earlier this year, Emiliano Sala was on an aircraft. He was en route to join the club. He had just transferred in when an airplane he was on crashed, and unfortunately, he didn't survive. It's just. Terrible tragedy for him and his family and the club, if we can get the fans to do that, I think that would be huge. I think it would be much appreciated by any Cardiff City supporters that are out here. I know that most likely there'll be like a live stream. I know they had a live stream for the San Antonio match, I think that'd be really awesome. Their manager Neil Warnock, he's class manager all the way around. He'll have his club ready to go, and of course Cardiff is working back towards the Premier League after getting relegated this past season. I know I'm looking forward to this. We've got a couple press passes that for us to get out there this week.
I do want to throw this out there while we're talking about it. So Seth is going to be going to the New Mexico United media hour on Wednesday. He's going to be sitting down with Daniel Bruce ahead of this Cardiff City match, and he's going to be doing a Q&A with them. So if you're listening to this podcast, whether it's now or somewhere before Wednesday at 12 noon, feel free to either to send us questions for Daniel Bruce that you might have. You can send it to us at seekandstrikecollective@gmail.com. You can also send it to the live text line number that we have, which is what, Josh?
505-431-8830.
And Josh will make sure that the questions get to Seth, or I'll check the email and make sure the questions get to Seth. But we would really like to get your listener questions that Seth could take in the Daniel Bruce Q&A. It's our first Q&A for Seek and Strike for this year, so we're really pumped. So,
and on that note, we are going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after these words from Doral Motors.
Doral Motors is dedicated to providing the ultimate automobile buying experience. Doral Motors is your number one source for buying quality pre-owned vehicles. In addition, we offer a full array of financing options to meet your needs. Visit Doral Motors today at 6701 Lomas Boulevard, Northeast in Albuquerque, New Mexico. You can also visit them online at DoralMotorsNM.com or by phone at 505-907-9549.
Wait, this is the words that I want to say.
fan Q&A brought to you, of course, by Roadrunner Law Firm. This is my favorite segment each and every week. Love hearing from our fans. Before we get to our first text, though, Josh, I do want to point out, before we went to the break, you mentioned that the text line for questions for Brucey was 8830. It was actually 505-431-8860.
Oops. Ooh, and you know what? You know what you said on the Durrell Motors ad? You said Autobot, and I thought, Autobots, let's ride.
Oh, sorry.
That's the beautiful
thing. So I just wanted to throw that out there real quick.
Doing it live.
Yeah. And of course, you know, Casey's still hanging out with us, so Casey, feel free to jump in on these. And guys,
yeah, we do have a couple for Casey.
Oh, that's awesome. Glad to hear it. I was just going to say, if you got questions for Casey specifically, go ahead and send them in.
All right, so where do you guys want me to start? Do you want me to save Scooter for last? Because it's the longest one.
Try to find the highlights of that, because okay. We don't need a monologue.
Dude, I'm literally scrolling. Yeah. we'll start with Egan, because he's always a fan favorite. Egan.
Where's he calling? Where's he sending us a message from?
He's sending us from England.
Yes.
Egan.
Yeah. Egan from England.
Yep. Yeah. He says, evening, gentlemen, where you guys are. Morning, where I am. Sorry I couldn't listen to the podcast. I sent this earlier today to Josh. Question for you guys is, the Minnesota United game, we looked super great the first 7 minutes. After that, we looked like we just woke the sleeping giant and were afraid to attack. Minnesota United, yes, I've been hearing rumors of them being really good and a good franchise. The thing is, what do you think it was? Do you think that once the Minnesota United got two goals, we just kind of shut down and realizing how good and powerful this team is? Or is it just pure out exhaustion? You guys let me know. Me and my brother love you guys. Remember, we are here at the England United. We are now the England United team here. We love you guys. Chris, you said you wanted to get his Twitter handle. That way he can send a picture to you directly. So
yeah, Egan,
if you're listening, we need your Twitter handle. Make sure that you send that to us.
Or just go on to Twitter and tag us or add us on to Seek and Strike NM. And so that way we can be friends on Twitter.
All right. And then he also said a thing about Cardiff City. I am a fan of another team here. I won't say because I don't want to be made fun of by my friends. But Cardiff City, yes, class act team. But last year, they were throwing rice on our field after they beat us. So it would be my honor and my privilege to say I'm a United fan and that we beat Cardiff City. That way, you guys can send me tortillas and I can throw them at them. Cheers, mates. Good luck against Cardiff.
Thanks so much for the text, Ethan. We love to hear from you each and every week. I mean, we talked about it a little bit earlier. I mean, for me personally, I think it's just the length of the schedule. I mean, we've played so many matches in a row on the road and just being worn down. I really think that's what it is. Egan's right. We look great the first 7-8 minutes. And then beyond that, I don't think it's us saying, oh, well, they're just that much better. They've got two of the best forwards in the league right now.
Yep.
They're sitting, you know, I think top three at the table in the conference in MLS. It's hard to compete with that.
I gotta hit this buzzer right here, buzz in, because I gotta disagree, man. I don't think it was just the schedule. Like, you're playing against guys that are the best in each of their positions. I mean, we're an expansion team, and so we happen to get a lot of players on our team that normally most teams only get one or two of, but that's an MLS team, and they're one of the top sides, and, I mean, they were better. Like, that is clear. We did put out a goal, but I think you saw the difference between USL Championship talent and MLS talent, and you made it known that they had 87%, if you use a fraction, of their actual MLS roster in the match. So you didn't have the guys that were riding pine that were getting in, and that's their 87%. You had the guys that are responsible for the run that they're currently on.
Well, okay, let me ask you this. What if we had $9 million to spend on our roster?
If we had $9 million
I think it would have been much more competitive. But take away, that we talked about earlier, take away the miscues, take away the deflections, the unlucky bounces. It's a 2-1 match.
Yeah, but did you see the way they were swarming the box? I mean, it was like poor Cody, dude. He was hanging on for his dear life. The balls were coming in. you know, he stopped somewhere and then there was another guy somewhere else. I mean, it was like an ambush. It was crazy.
Yeah, so I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, we didn't perform well in the first half at all. No one's denying that. A lot, and again, we had a lot of unlucky bounces.
All the points were in the first half. Yeah. But on the second, on the other hand, if they only scored one goal in the second half, can we assume that we put up defense or they just stopped shooting? I mean, what was that?
Well, they definitely didn't stop shooting. They didn't stop shooting at all. But we played better in the second half. And again, you got to look at it in terms of the way the match played out. If Cody had been able to grab those balls, or if Sam's ball hadn't been deflected right to Minnesota.
Childish.
Of course you'd be laughing at
super
that.
Childish. Yes. Super childish. Okay, so stupid. Go ahead. Continue.
All right. This one is for Casey. This was from Bruce. He's from Rio Rancho. He says, hey, I went out to a bunch of Runners games last year. Me and my daughter enjoyed it. She's looking to get into soccer some more. Are you guys going to be having any camps? And if so, how can we find out more information? And we would like to meet you out there. So, Casey, also, if you can give out a shout-out to my daughter. Her name is Lindsay. She's a big fan. Just let her know that you said hi. She will love you forever.
Well, thank you. Hey, Lindsay, thank you for being a fan. Thank you for being out there last season. I really appreciate it. The team appreciates it. Camps will probably be coming up more in the winter time, like December and in that area, January. I haven't got with Andres yet to see what we're going to do with camps and stuff. Or Steve Amuleto, which is the coach of the team. I haven't got with him either to see what we're doing with camps. But when we do, you can go to NewMexicoRunners.com and it'll be on that. Or go to Facebook and you can find it on there as well. So
awesome. This one is from Tony. He is from Rio Rancho as well. He says, Casey, we got to know. We've heard the guys talk about their favorite clubs on the show. We need your favorite MLS, English Premier, and I guess he's saying Spanish, like Spain. The what do they call the? What's that league called?
Liga.
Yeah. So he wants to know all your teams.
So MLS team, I would say Atlanta United.
There we go.
What is this Southern connection happening here?
EPL, it'll have to be Liverpool, of course. Liverpool to the day I die. I mean,
boo.
And then La Liga would be Atletico Madrid. And then Mexican League would be Chivas. And then when Mexico and U.S. plays, I like USA. I get a lot of shit from my friends for that.
And then he added a second part to that. The biggest question of all, it's the biggest debate of all time. Me and my friends have it all the time. If you were to start a club or a franchise, Messi or Ronaldo?
I pick Ronaldo. The reason I pick Ronaldo, he ain't gonna score goals, he's gonna score goals. Messi needs someone to help him out. Ronaldo can just give him a ball and he'll go for it. I just like the way he is. I just like the showboat he is as well, so.
Awesome. And then, by the way, Bruce responded back saying he heard your shout out. His daughter is going crazy.
That she praise Bruce.
So, all right. The next one is from Stephanie. She's from San Jose. She's texting in a couple times.
All right.
She said, hey guys, I was at the Fresno game against the NM United. Man, tough loss. You guys got unlucky with that penalty. If it didn't come down to it, you guys would have tied them. But what's up with y'all? You guys look tired. You guys look like you just need a month off break. I see it in some of the players' eyes, especially in Santi's. When I watched the Minnesota United game, he just looked pure out exhausted. Yes, he got the amazing goal, but you just look in his eyes. They're bloodshot red. Even Devin Sandoval looked a little exhausted. Do you guys agree that maybe they should have taken a little bit more time off? Maybe not advanced as far as they did in the Lamar Hunt Cup just because of the scheduling? Please let me know. I'm starting to become a United fan, even though that Sacramento is my team. But you guys just show great patience and kindness towards other fans. And Minnesota United, they mentioned you guys on ESPN saying that you guys were one heck of a crowd. Minnesota United fans showed you guys a lot of love, and you showed it back. Kudos to you guys, NM United. You guys are starting to become my second favorite USL squad.
Stephanie, as soon as you're ready to convert, we'll gladly accept you into the ranks.
And we'll send you a flag, too. I'll personally go buy you one at the store.
Thank you so much for texting in again. I think this is the third or fourth time I've heard from Stephanie. Thank you so much. We've talked about it, you know. The length of schedule, being away from home, we've talked to Troy about it. We've talked to various different players in the post-match press conferences here in town. They've said that being home is such a huge deal for them, being able to see their families, see the fans. And yes, our fans travel really well, but it wears on you being on the road that much, not, you know, being in a different city every couple of days. It's tiring. It really is. I mean, maybe there could have been more rotation in there, but, you know, Troy made the decisions that he felt were best for the club in order to advance as far as possible in Open Cup. I won't necessarily say that's a bad thing, because the exposure that we got, national coverage on ESPN+, the amount of respect that we're getting across social media, across other news outlets, it's huge for this club in general.
I mean, you just got to be happy that we didn't lose to, like, MLS squads that put in, like, 10% of their rosters.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, Colorado, who put in, they put in mostly academy guys, younger guys, and their coach even came out and said they didn't take it all that seriously. They're here. I believe his words were, they're here to win MLS Cups, not Open Cup Lamar Hunt Cups, whatever he said. And I understand the mindset, but an MLS club losing to a USL or USL League One or an NASL club, that doesn't look good no matter who you are. I mean, yes, it's football. Anything can happen on any given day.
A USL championship team losing to a USL One team doesn't look good.
No.
El Paso.
So we got three more. This one is from Derek in Tampa Bay. He's texted in before. He's saying, hey, guys. So St. Louis lost as well. So what happens with the money between St. Louis and New Mexico United? I know there was $25,000 up for grab. Do they end up splitting it, or what happened?
No, so St. Louis actually gets that gets the $25,000 bonus because they have better results. Even though we both advanced as far, they actually won more matches than we did in regulation. We went to extra time and PKs and things like that. So because they had more regulation wins, or more just straight up wins than we did, they get the bonus.
Okay. This one is from Anonymous.
We're getting hacked.
This one's for Casey. He says, Casey, how does Andres go from gladiator football to runner soccer? Can that man pick a sport or what?
I mean, I think he picked the right sport. I mean, arena football is not very big. Indoor soccer is actually getting really big. They got Landon Donovan now. They have Jermaine Jones. I know they're picking a couple guys from the Sounders. MLS, so all the MLS players that were good are going to retire now in indoor and trying to make the indoor game a little bit bigger. I mean, I got to play some of the guys, some big guys that with the U.S. national team, so it was real nice to do that and get experience with those guys. But I mean, I think Andres picked the right sport. I think he's sticking with the indoor soccer, and I think he loves what he does, and we love what he does for us, so we hope he sticks around for a while, because I know he enjoys it and we enjoy what we do. If it wasn't for him, we probably wouldn't be what we are now, where we're at. Because it's bringing a lot of entertainment to the town, a lot of soccer, and a lot to youth, too. It's like giving them like hope to look at something. Because when I was growing up, we had the Asylum, I think that's all we had, and then we had the New Mexico Bandidos, but that wasn't really a pro. It was more like an amateur travel team. But now with all this soccer going on, I think the kids have something to look forward to. The kids want to play soccer now. They want to go and do it instead of their parents like, hey, let's go to practice. Like, hey, I want to go because I want to play with them. And they enjoy it. I see the kids' faces when I go play, and they really do enjoy it. So I think that's another reason why Andres does it, just to bring the community together and just bring the kids joy and have something to do in the town. Because Rio Rancho, there's not very much to do in Rio Rancho, you know what I mean? Yeah. So that's the reason he picked out there. So they had something to do, something to looking forward to. We had a pretty good turnout last year. Yeah, he does good marketing, so I'm happy to be a part of it.
And in part two of his question, he said, biggest rivalry in the indoor soccer league?
For
the runners, yeah.
For the runners? We had a couple of them, actually. We went against Inferno. We always battled against them. We never wanted to lose them. Actually, a couple of us played with the Inferno, which were the Blizzards back in the day. So I don't personally like losing to them. That's my rival, but also El Paso, the Little Cuervos, which is at El Paso. It's my hometown, so I don't like losing to hometown, but they were really good this season. They ended up being second. But I think those two would be our rival teams.
All right. So, guys, we got to get it down to it. We saved them from last. It is Scooter McGavin, real name Scott.
Oh, sorry. Wait, what's that? The feed's going out?
Yeah.
Sorry.
All right. So, guys that weren't here last week, Scooter McGavin, we call him Scooter. His real name's Scott. He just gave us a hard time last week about Minnesota United. He is a big Minnesota United fan.
Just give him his full time, okay? Dude, I said he
was texting me during the game. You know how annoying that was? Like, he was saying, oh, how cute. You guys got a goal on us. One of the texts was, you guys got a goal on us. How cute. My 6-year-old son can get a goal on us. You know, stuff like that. He's just saying, first off, New Mexico United fans, it's good that you guys were there to see your team get punished and destroyed by my Minnesota United. It's good to see your sad little faces in the corner where you belong with your nose in the corner. He says, how about that Minnesota United game? Yes, you guys got an early goal on us, but you guys did the worst thing you could have done, and that is score that goal and awaken us, the sleeping giants, the monsters of the Midway. I was like, Midway, that's Minnesota, that's Chicago.
Yeah, get your cities right. Minnesota is not the monsters of the Midway. You got to be kidding.
Keep going.
I think he meant to probably put the Midwest. He says, did you guys feel the coldness of the air come down your lungs? Because we just sent that Minnesota freeze to you guys. Your poor little legs couldn't handle the speed of the Minnesota United. We are way better than you are. That just proves that the USL is a complete joke. The teams that did succeed in beating the MLS squads got lucky because they didn't play their full squads. We wanted to prove a point and shut you guys down forever. We were tired of hearing New Mexico United upset Dallas and Colorado. We had to shut you up, and we did. So congratulations on being blown out on ESPN Plus because they didn't want to put it on ESPN News because no one would have cared to watch you guys. Most people would have thought of us going, why are they
playing?
Hold on.
None of the U.S. Open Cup matches were shown anywhere other than ESPN Plus.
Yeah. he says, so how does it feel to get your wake-up call? When was the last time you guys got a win other than Lamar Hunt? Didn't the ESPN announcer say May 23rd? That's pathetic. You guys need to learn how to work as a team and get those victories back. You guys are scroll down. You guys are so cute thinking that you guys can hang with the big boys. Come back when you're ready to play in the bigs. And when you do, we will be waiting for you. We want to be your first opponent. And Troy Lassane, shouldn't that guy get fined for cussing on the air? Didn't he say F-word and then all of ESPN heard it? Man, what a great coach you guys have for cussing out everybody and his own team. You didn't see our coach yelling at us. Yes, he is a little bit, I think he's Scottish. But you don't see him yelling and cursing at his players. Man, you guys are a real class act. The only thing that was a class act was your fans. But like I said, they had their little noses in the corner being swatted like a little puppy dog on the nose. So get your act together, New Mexico United, and call me back when you're ready to play in the bigs.
Wait, you really want to
get this guy the full time? No.
Yeah. We gave him the full time. And so this is what I want to say. Scott, man, you know what? I'm a man of my word, and you know, I mean, you probably could have actually called in and said some of this stuff, but since you took the text line, that's fine. I will say this though, you know, if we got Scott's attention that much, then somehow I believe he is a closet New Mexico United USL Championship fan. And in addition to that, Scott, we do appreciate you taking your time while you're on the John to send us this long text message. Can I ask that you please share our podcast out with folks, since you're actually a star in our full-time Q&A, so we can get a little bit more traction out in your area. Feel free to friend us on Twitter, Seek and Strike NM, and also make sure to go to iTunes or Apple Podcasts or even Spotify and subscribe, because we want to hear from you more often.
That's what all you gotta say?
You might. I'll give you Chris's personal phone number, says he wants to, you know, be pen pals. All right. I don't want to hear from Scooter anymore. Like, dude's trying to compare a club that's got a $9 million plus salary to I mean, whatever the USL salaries are not posted. These guys, these are younger guys who are learning and developing and, you know, looking to get the promotion up to the MLS or to another league. Like, you can't compare the two. The USL is not trash. The USL had two clubs make it to the quarterfinals this year. You cannot look down on any league that can go in and do that. Whether MLS clubs are taking it seriously or not, you've got players on your rosters who are obviously good enough to be a part of your roster. They may not be your first team, but they're good enough to be on your roster. And that's saying something about those guys. And they're losing to quote-unquote, you know, inferior leagues like the USL. Sorry, Scooter, you're in the wrong business.
Hey, well, check this out, though. The reason why his team had to put in 80-something percent of their roster is because the fact that our team is good, right? I mean, like, think about it, right? Like, they would have to do that because if they didn't do that, they obviously were going to lose. So it was more of a security point for them to put in the roster. So you took us seriously. Our team obviously is.
We made enough of an impact.
That's exactly what I was about to say. It's like, they obviously put their first team because they're taking this team serious. It's obviously a serious team. And I think we still did well, even though they lost. I think they still did well. I mean, they were scared. They had to be scared. They had a starting team.
Exactly.
And you know, we did better than FC Cincinnati.
That is true.
And you know, they lost 7-1.
You know, I'll take our boy Troy fired up any day of the week.
How did Dallas do against Minnesota United? Did you see that game the other day?
No, didn't watch it. Don't care.
So how about this for Minnesota United? How about this, Scooter? You guys are 10-3-7. 10-7. You guys are You guys are a cute MLS squad, because look at LAFC, 14-2. Like, that's a soccer club right there. So take some lessons from them.
I'm a Galaxy fan, sorry.
I know, but like, you barely have 10 wins, and you're barely a game ahead of San Jose, Real Salt Lake, and FC Dallas. Like, one loss, and you're back down to eighth place. Like, you guys are cute. Yeah, you guys are a good squad. But what did we talk about last week? What does Minnesota have that is good? Your Timberwolves are garbage. Your Twins are, they're winning now. But when was the last time they won a World Series? The 90s?
91, 92.
Who was, you know, I was 2 years old.
Is that the last time the Braves won anything?
95.
And then what else do they have out there in Minnesota?
Horrible winds and cold. It's horrible out there. Why would anybody live out there?
All the old people go to Phoenix for the winter, and you stay there, and you're an idiot with your frozen lungs. So your little, Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze with all those freeze puns? Like, get out of here, man. Scooter, you're on drugs.
All right, I think we've got enough time to Scooter, you know. I just, you know, we appreciate the text. We appreciate, you know, I mean, like we said, I think
how he's watching the games, though.
We scared these guys enough to put in enough for them to put in, you know, pretty much their first team squad.
I like that he's watching our games, because how did he know about Troy cussing if he was not watching the United Fresno game?
All right.
He's secretly a fan.
Do we have any more questions?
Nope, that was it.
All right, that's going to do it for our full-time fan Q&A segment, brought to you, of course, by Roadrunner Law Firm.
And wait, before you go to that break, Seth, I do have to say this. Roadrunner Law Firm is going to be giving away a pair of tickets to the Cardiff City match. Details to be announced soon. Stay tuned to a post on the Roadrunner Law Firm Facebook page.
All right, so yeah, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after these words from Roadrunner Law Firm.
There's the call, ref. Yeah, that should have been a yellow. They just never seem to get it right.
And the game continues.
If you have been hurt or injured by someone, you deserve the right call. Roadrunner Law Firm specializes in personal injury cases and wants you to get the right call. raise up a yellow card if you've lost a loved one due to a wrongful death, been in a car or motorcycle accident, been hurt by a drunk driver, or been hurt due to negligence of others. If the right call was not made, we'd like to hear from you. For more information, visit our website at www.roadrunnerlaw.com or make the call to Roadrunner Law Firm at 505-444-4321.
But before we get out of here, you know, we've talked about it throughout the show. We've talked about it in the weeks leading up. Cardiff City's coming up. We're planning on being out there. It's going to be over at UNM Soccer Complex. That's Thursday night. I think it was 7? I think it's the
7:45 kickoff.
7:45 kickoff. Okay. Sounds great. I mean, we're looking forward to it. You know, I got to ask, if you had the opportunity to go and see any club anywhere in the world, who would you see?
I'd go see Manchester United.
Liverpool.
I would go see a Chelsea-Manchester United game. I hear those are intense.
Liverpool-Man U is what I would go watch.
See, I was talking to my buddy about this, and he's a big Man U fan. And, you know, Mike, if you're listening, I'm sorry. I can't do it. No, can't. You know, you can keep your Lukaku. I don't want him. You know, you guys are dealing with issues. Yeah, we're done and over with him. You know, our Everton's Lord and Savior, Umar Nias, maybe on the way out the door, but you know, I'll take him over Lukaku, you know, any day. But for me, if I had to go and watch any match, my wife and I talked about it. You know, given the opportunity, you know, with the funds and everything, I would go see a Merseyside Derby. Everton Liverpool, I mean, you can't get bigger than that. That's just my thing, you know.
You're an Everton fan, though.
Yeah.
That's why. my brother is a Man U fan, so that's why all my friends are Man U fans. So I gotta.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's a big thing out there. So I would go to that one too.
I mean, for me, it's just, you know, I got into Everton because you know, back in the 2014 World Cup cycle, you know, Tim Howard and you know, you got
he played very well for them too.
Tim Howard.
I think he scored a goal for them.
He did.
He pointed it, went in the air, and it bounced over the goalie away. I remember that.
Yeah, that was one of the best shots I've ever seen by any player. But yeah, that 2014 World Cup, you know, watching, you know, Tim Howard play for the U.S. club and then Lukaku playing for Belgium, I mean, that's what, you know, sucked me into Everton, and seeing the club history, you know, Donovan being over there and, you know, it's everything else. Like, it's just, you know, I that's how I got into it.
And I got into Liverpool because of Steven Gerrard.
Okay, yeah.
CVG, and who else played on that team? Pepe Reina was, I liked him as a goalie as well. What was it? Fernando Torres when he was good. Okay. I was kind of washed up. So, but yeah, that's why I fell in love with those two guys. They were just a great duo, and just Stevie G can just put the ball where he needs to. It's super hard. It's awesome. I love it.
I kind of feel like Chris just kind of jumped on the bandwagon with the Man U.
I think so too.
Ooh, I'm a Pogba fan. Okay, so you know when he played for the French, I was stoked. So I can't say it's been like forever, yeah. But. You know.
All I gotta say, you know, because I know we're short on time, but all I gotta say is watch out for SC Barcelona signing Griezmann this week. So that's gonna be a good little squad.
Yeah, if Neymar gets back over there,
oof, man,
it's gonna be a tough
squad. Hey, we had a listener that was gonna offer to send you an Everton scarf. I forgot who that was, but if you're listening, would you get a hold of us through the Seek and Strike Twitter? Because I think that Seth
we're at
more
Salt Yard.
Memorabilia.
Yeah, we're out at Salt Yard, and one of the listeners offered to give me an Everton scarf of his. But so that'd be cool. I'd love to get my hands on one of those. You know, so I saw Arsenal just beat somebody in a friendly. Who they just beat?
Colorado. 3-0.
I mean, no surprise there. Yeah. You know, I mean, Arsenal's a good club.
So. Actually, they brought up some players on the switchbacks up to the Colorado Rapids. So they didn't even need, like back to we said, they don't care about these games. They care about the MLS. So
yeah, it's good opportunity for those youngsters, though.
Exactly.
So I mean, you know, we're gonna get out of here. We are running short on time, but. Of course, we want to make sure we shout out our sponsors one more time. Our show would not be possible without them. You know, a big thank you to Doral Motors for everything they do, and a big thank you, of course, to Roadrunner Law Firm, of course, supporting for their continued support of the show, allowing us to use their offices here tonight. And of course, if you are listening, you are a local business or even somewhere else, you're interested in what we're doing and you're interested in partnering up with us, please, of course, reach out to us at Seek and Strike Collective. And if you do want to talk sponsorship, you can email us at seekandstrikecollective@gmail.com.
Yeah, and check it out. You can listen to all of our previous episodes of We Are Seek and Strike podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and we're rumored to also be on Google Podcasts as well as some other other podcast applications. If you hear something you like, please consider subscribing so that you never miss an episode. We thrive from feedback. Please go on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Leave us a review. Give us those 5-star ratings. For all of our Seek and Strike social media tags, you can check out our website at seekandstrikecollective.com.
All righty, guys. Well, we're going to end the show in a special way. We have a special friend that has a local band here in Albuquerque, New Mexico. They are called Painting Promises. They're big United fans, and we like to support local. So here they are, Painting Promises, with their new single, Head Away. You guys, make sure that you guys have a great week. We'll see you next Monday right here on We Are Seek and Strike. Take care, everybody.
Yeah. amazing Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.